this.
Gesant Ori, CAPE Managing Partner and Director of a Corporate and Commercial Practice, Cliff Dekker-Hofmeyer, joins me now to look at the impact of COVID on business. Good evening, Gesant, and thank you for joining us. Certain sectors of business in South Africa have been affected more than others by the pandemic and ensuing lockdown. However, pockets of investment opportunities still exist. Could you give us sectors you are seeing this occurring in, or potentially some real-life examples?
Thanks for having me on your show. Yes, I think there are a number of sectors, I think, that have shown a great deal of resilience even in the face of the COVID pandemic. I mean, one of the obvious sectors is retail, which obviously through lockdown has been able to operate at certain levels. So while there may not be as such corporate activity or merger and acquisition activity, because retail operations have obviously been continuing during this period, the sort of routine commercial activity that these retail operators are involved in, those would have continued. And then I think, you know, there are other sectors that have, despite COVID, have shown a certain amount of resilience that has boded well for them, have seen them through, I think, the worst effects of COVID. Retail obviously is one example. The other industries, I think, like the fishing sector, the food sector more broadly, the agri sector, where, again, obviously because of the nature of the restrictions that have existed during lockdown, you know, food supplies had to continue, food supply chains have had to continue, and manufacturers, farmers, and growers of fruit and producers and manufacturers of foodstuffs obviously have been able to continue operating, albeit under restricted conditions. So I think those are sectors that have obviously that, you know, through COVID have had to operate, have shown resilience by the nature of their operations, and I think have stood investors in good stead.
Gesant, I mean, it's quite interesting. If you're anything like the average individual across the world, you probably would have entered the lockdown period kind of in complete apprehension, potentially looking at the world and saying, well, sure, this is really going to be changing. And then only realizing potentially in your world that the type of work that you're doing is potentially changing. Maybe a merger is no longer going to be a merger, but it maybe gets taken over by liquidations, for instance, or businesses being wrapped up and so on. How much of that have you guys seen happening?
I think there's been a fair amount of that happening. Most businesses, particularly those that have been hardest hit by the pandemic, have had to refocus, have had to look very carefully at, for example, their gearing, had to look at doing a refinance of their funding arrangements. And you can just imagine the industries that have been worst affected, the ones that have basically had to shut down. Those include, for example, the hotel sector. You know, hotels just haven't been able to operate. Airlines haven't been able to fly. They've just been shut down. So they go from whatever revenue levels they were at pre-COVID to virtually nothing. You can just imagine what that has done to their cash flow, what that has done to their operations. Most of those businesses, and this is what we've seen in the deal activity that we've been involved in, have had to relook at their funding structures. They've had to refinance their funding arrangements. And in some instances, they've had to do deals. They've had to bring on board other investors. Those could be banks, for example, that have converted their debt into equity. Or it could be angel investors, whether from abroad or local investors. So there's been a great deal of spin-offs, if you like, as a result of businesses finding themselves under, I wouldn't say distress conditions necessarily, but in a situation where they've had to do some of these things to restructure, to refinance, and get cash in the business.
Obviously, I mean, like any crisis, this has obviously certain opportunities that it brings with it. I suppose one of those is those individuals or companies that want to acquire assets long-term in South Africa. I suppose the overarching factor that inhibits that at the moment is obviously the political and economic landscape of South Africa. But I suppose within that, there is an effort to try and promote South Africa as a foreign investment destination for international investors. How much of that are you seeing happening? How many international buyers are you seeing potentially being interested in acquiring assets here in South Africa?
There is a fair amount of interest. If you think about it, pre-COVID, government, and particularly after the State of the Nation address last year, government announced a package of measures that they would introduce that would ease doing business and ease entry into the South African market, whether it be through, for example, focusing on shortening periods that it would take to obtain, you know, business operating permits, or shortening how long it would take, for example, to establish a new company, those kinds of things. To some extent, I think because of focus being placed on COVID and everything that goes with that, perhaps, you know, the emphasis hasn't been on those types of measures. But I think what we need now is things that we need the government to promote certain and to fast track certain things that will facilitate economic activity in the country. And that includes, you know, easing restrictions on investors coming into SA, and also allowing the business community to operate under, if you like, less bureaucratic, less red tape. So we've seen a fair amount of interest by foreign investors. Obviously, the pre-COVID concerns around investing in SA, like power constraints, like concerns about corruption, land restitution issues, and the like. Those remain, but I would say generally the economic climate, I think, is favourable. You know, where, you know, as the saying goes, you know, if somebody loses money, there's always somebody on the other side that stands to gain. So, despite the you know, the harsh effects of COVID on certain parts of our economy and on certain role players in the chain, those opportunities are there for investors. And I think if you're an investor with cash to invest in a business that has a solid foundation and platform in South Africa, then I think there is a good deal to be done and a tremendous opportunity. And that includes for foreign investors.
Ghazant, how often are you seeing previous deals that maybe you've been working on or that your company has been working on in the past, but you're just seeing those at lower price points? So, for instance, in the past, maybe the deal would have been worth a certain amount of capital commitment, but quite frankly, because of the COVID crisis, it's been repriced at a lower level, and hence, you know, it requires an open mind in order to even interact at that level.
Yeah, so I think at a high level, I mean, the effects of COVID on deals that were either already done or in the pipeline being done as COVID hit us. So the result has been one of two things. Either the deal has collapsed completely because it's just no longer simply a bankable deal. So if you look at deals in the hospitality sector, for example, or the gaming sector, you know, where hotels and casino operators, for example, just haven't had any income, you know, it's forced them to relook and revisit deals. So some of those deals have collapsed. And then there are others where we've seen deals being repriced, deals being renegotiated on different terms. And those tend to be the deals where at least there's been some level of economic activity through COVID, not a total shutdown of operations. So, for example, in the QSR sector, where restaurants from a relatively early stage in the lockdown, were able at least, for example, to start operating takeouts and takeaways type of thing. So at least there was some revenue. And some businesses have managed to retain a semblance or maintain a semblance of the earnings pre-COVID. So those deals have been, rather than collapsing, have been renegotiated and are being done on different terms.
Yeah, I suppose. And I mean, that's, I suppose, one of the big things. I mean, this is the first time around in decades that the world has had to deal with a pandemic. And then I suppose it's a pandemic within a very technologically astute environment. And one never quite knows how companies will respond to a crisis like this. And all of a sudden, you see some clear emerging winners. And as you quite rightly pointed out, quick service restaurants were ones that were able to bounce back much, much quicker, and hence show their ability and resilience. I mean, that must then add, obviously, quite frankly, a new spin to a deal that you could potentially have done previously, which previously it was just a quick service restaurant. Now it actually has COVID resilience.
Correct. Yeah, and obviously a lot of it has to do with just the nature of the operation. If you, you know, if you were totally shut down during COVID, there's pretty much nothing that you could do about the situation. If the circumstances allowed you to continue to operate, you know, obviously in a much more fortunate position. But then, you know, we've seen a lot of other things happen. You know, we've seen people kind of diversify. You know, people that used to be hairdressers for a long time couldn't operate during lockdown, diversify into delivering fresh produce to homes as opposed to staying at home type of thing. So, you know, people have had to reinvent themselves and re-engineer their businesses. And I think this applies not only to kind of sole proprietors or, you know, or a hairdresser, for example, who's had to just find something else to do to maintain a kind of a standard of living type of thing, but also to businesses, I think, who have had to re-engineer and to adjust to change the circumstances. That includes professional services firms like ourselves, you know, adapting to remote working conditions and the like.
Hassan Dori, CAPE Managing Partner and Director of the Corporate and Commercial Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. This is Classic Business.
This is Classic Business.